Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Every now and then, don't you just have to tune out and unplug? I was doing it even before the internet and social media. In college, I would get fed up with everyone and everything and vanish for sometimes days at a time. By junior year, some of my friends were calling me Houdini. They knew there was no point in looking for me because I didn't want to be found. Now that I think of it, I've been doing that stuff forever. As a toddler, I was brought to a party at a cousin's house. I was not enjoying myself. It was chaos, and I don't like chaos. Kids running around like roaches, either screaming or crying or crapping in their pants. A TV blasting cartoons I didn't like. Pin the tail on the donkey. Paper hats and those goddamn blow and roll out noisemakers. And strawberry ice cream. Who the fuck eats strawberry ice cream? And it was warm and soupy. And strawberry shortcake. Who the fuck eats that? Store brand sodas in puke inducing flavors like orange and pomegranate. That's what every 4-year-old wants, right? There was no real food, like even a bologna sandwich or pizza or crackers. Just different forms of high fructose sugar and pastel colors and flavors. No chocolate, no vanilla. Who the fuck washes down ice cream and cake with soda? How about some milk or even water? Is that not begging for a diabetic coma? And my cousin, the birthday boy, with green snot dripping from his nose as he blew out the candles. The whole scene was repulsive. I don't know what I was expecting or hoping for. Probably something more like Frank and Dean and Sammy in Vegas, you know? Swizzle stick culture had much more appeal to me even then. Yeah, I know. I was a different kind of kid. So I just found an empty toilet and locked myself in there and took a nap. When I was reported missing, my parents got pretty frantic. But I didn't. I knew exactly where I was. Yeah, but once you're married and have kids, you can't do that anymore. Well, you can, but the blowback would be horrific. So now I tune out the mainstream broadcast media and the online world, and they are equally odious. And as we hurtle towards this November election, it's only going to get worse. Seems there is nothing now, nothing but politics and coronavirus. And if you really think about it, they're the same story. Sick people and disease. All politicians are liars and full of shit. Once upon a time, though, they had to buy ads or appear in the news or someplace in person. Otherwise, you did not have to see their hideous faces or hear their fucking annoying sound bites. But now every asshole politician has millions upon millions of doll-eyed fans and followers faithfully parroting the latest horseshit of their chosen leader on every platform. There is no escape. So when I'm in tune-out mode, I like to turn my attention to the weird and the bizarre. And you never have to look very far for the weird and bizarre. The weird and bizarre are the new normal. And the normal are now the oddities. They even have their own pejorative, huh? Normies. First time I saw that word, I thought maybe there was some YouTube star named Norm and his acolytes were calling themselves normies. But I digress. Today's descent into the weird comes out of a place I've never been to, but would love to visit, Russia. Yeah, and I'd like to meet Vlad Putin. He looks like a fun dude with his massive motorized tricycles and rifle slinging on horseback and salmon fishing and hip waders. I like all that stuff. Other than his politics, I bet I'd enjoy hanging with Vlad, like a fuck ton more than most other world leaders. What would I have to say to Justin Trudeau other than au revoir, soy boy? Most world leaders are dull drips. But that's pretty much who's going to go into politics and wind up running things, right? Incredibly boring, talentless people who, because they are so boring and talentless, are passed over by the private sector and then must choose between two very similar employment havens tailor-made for boring and talentless people, academia and politics. Two places where there's basically no accountability, no way to measure success or failure, good salaries, killer benefits, and, barring a murder conviction, hell, sometimes even with a murder conviction, lifetime employment. God, I do go off the rails so fast. Russia, back to Russia. The place that Churchill called a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. But there's nothing very mysterious about the bizarro story from Russia just a few days ago. Seems some people were having a party. And that party had many of the elements vital to any successful party: alcohol, inebriation, sexy chicks, men to cavort for them, and the magic X factor that either lights the jets on ordinary parties and turns them into memories for a lifetime, or flips them into nightmares of sorrow, regret, and death. And that X factor is somebody saying, "Hey, I got an idea." Without alcohol, these ideas, which are usually really stupid, would quickly be shot down. But with everyone's senses dulled and clear-eyed judgment on hold, almost any idea will be hailed as a great idea. The kind of ideas once featured on Jackass are now on YouTube under the heading Epic Fails. And so it was when some Russian partygoers decided to enhance the mood of their swimming by lobbing several chunks of dry ice into the pool. And indeed, their idea did alter the mood from hilarity to death. Seems dry ice and chlorinated water in an indoor setting is a toxic combination. But we'd never have heard the story had not one of the victims been an Instagram influencer. I love that term, influencer. Wonder if that's what it says on her resume. Are there colleges teaching courses on how to be an influencer? Probably. That term says so much about how fucked our society has become. Used to be one could only acquire influence by achieving success in a given field, right? People might have been influenced to get a Les Paul custom because they liked the way Slash played his, or maybe Michael Jordan Nikes, or endless other celebrities with sufficient fame and success to motivate consumers. Consumers I don't understand, by the way. The moment I see a product endorsed by a celebrity, I start looking for an alternative product. So, here's the story from Moscow. Ekaterina Didenko was widowed when dry ice was thrown into a swimming pool to create a steam show at a celebration in Moscow, causing an outpouring of carbon dioxide. The blogger's husband, IT specialist Valentin Didenko, 32, was poisoned, as well as two other partygoers, age 25. The heartbroken mom, who has posted videos in the aftermath documenting her grief, saw her followers soar by 500,000 to 1.5 million since the accident. So there's a shitstorm about the party gone wrong, and people are pissed at Katerina because she keeps doing what she's doing, posting content. People think she's crass and cold-hearted and an opportunist. Someone said that social media had reached a new low with her postings mere hours after the deaths. But then, an expert weighs in, a Dr. Philip. No, I don't think it's our Dr. Phil, but the name is kind of funny. Here's what the esteemed doctor had to say. "Blogger is a vocation. It's like a poet or a writer 200 or 300 years ago. We live for subscribers. Without them, life makes no sense to us. A person shares emotions live with their subscribers. This is normal and expected. Is it so hard to understand?" Well, first, Dr. Phillips' arithmetic is a little off. One need not go back two or three centuries to when poets, who are writers, by the way, would express their thoughts on paper. Maybe 25 years or so would do it. And even now, there are still some using that antiquated media, and I've seen bloggers and podcasters who, upon experiencing loss of a loved one, suspend their posts until they can regain their equilibrium, or at least so they don't look like what? Well, Russian newspaper Pravda's headline said, hype on blood, and criticized this woman for continuing to post in the aftermath of the tragic incident. But everyone's different, and each has his or her own ways of grieving. Just as we have our own ways of tuning out. There are substitutions, right? Just hanging out with La Familia is usually my first choice, especially the kids. One day they'll just grow up and disappear on me. But barring that, I sometimes leave my cell phone in a drawer or on the car seat for prolonged periods. And often the remote for the Vizio gets lost for days. And that's okay, too. A good book, a single malt with some headphones and tunes, maybe picking a guitar, or a hike, or fishing, or the gym. They're all good. There are many great alternatives, too. The digital shitstream. But then there's Hollywood. They do things a little differently. Being prima donnas, weaklings, psychos, and basket cases, they almost always need somebody to sort of do things for them. I guess that's the whole stand-in and stuntman and personal assistant syndrome. I once worked with a woman in New York, and we were good friends, and we still are, and I always used to razz her about her Hollywood proclivities. She had plenty of discretionary income, and she liked to blow it on stuff like life coaches and diet coaches and meditation coaches and spiritual counselors, all stuff that you really could do for yourself if you had the motivation. And one day, she said she had hired a relaxation coach or a sleep coach or some such shit. And I told her, you know, someday, you're going to hire someone to take a shit for you. Well, little did I know, I had seen the future. More on that in just a bit. So there's this growing, profitable business that sprung up around unplugging, but of course, the Hollywood crowd has to put it in a parlance they can relate to. Digital detox. The Hollywood Reporter just did a roundup of all the modalities and accommodations and prices these outfits are getting to help harried industry players with the complex and dangerous process of turning off their fucking phones. Here's how the story starts off.
As Los Angeles attempts to calm down post-award season, the following resorts offer places to say goodbye to phones for a stretch and go on a digital detox. Most are device-free and all encourage guests to disconnect from electronics and reconnect to self.
Yeah, that award season can really stress you out and fuck you up. Endless parties, gorging on caviar and top-shelf booze. Oh, and those goddamn limousines. And that damn phone just never stops with 7- and 8-figure offers. And the most telling phrase in that entire paragraph is the last one. Reconnect to self. Doesn't that say it all? Not to wives or kids or siblings, even adoring fans. Self. The first joint they list is someplace called Rancho La Puerta in Tecate, Mexico, and they say,
this resort urges guests to leave electronic devices at home to fully embrace being present.
What the fuck does that mean? If I'm not present, I'm either sleeping, dead, or in another room. It goes on.
The ranch's suites lack televisions and Wi-Fi. Guests can enjoy herbal wraps and a weekly Thursday silent dinner that focuses on one-on-one time with the self. Oprah Winfrey, Jane Fonda, and Kate Winslet have visited from $670 a night.
There you go again. One-on-one time with the self. There's another one at the famed La Quinta Resort that's out by Palm Springs. Now they offer...
Camped out. In a spot without cell service, campers get Waldorf Astoria bedding, overnight butler service, a meal for two, s'mores, and transportation to and from the campsite.
$2,500 for 3 nights. And if the desert's not your thing, you can head for Malibu, where during your 7-day experience in the Santa Monica Mountains, you'll participate in midday nap sessions. I wonder if they provide a onesie. And silent meditation hikes, which they also refer to as forest bathing. Packages include guided tours, plant-based meals, yoga, private rooms, and Mandy Moore, Rebel Wilson, and Allison Brie have relaxed there. I've only heard of one of them. And it starts at about $8,000 for a week. Or you could head for Arizona and the Miraval Resort and Spa. This one I love. It says that Miraval is a device-free property, and guests can unplug by taking part in activities such as kintsugi, which is, I'm not making this up, that's reassembling broken pottery. But back to my friend from New York. I have to tell her about a place she would dig, the We Care Spa in Desert Hot Springs, California. The place should actually be renamed the We Don't Give a Shit, But You Sure Will Spa, because they specialize in colonics, which is, of course, another word for enemas. For a mere $3,500, you can luxuriate in 6 days of detox, juice fasts, and ass flushes. The place is serious about knocking the shit out of you. There's no golf, no shopping. It's been frequented by the likes of Cameron Diaz and Matthew McConaughey. So the big question is, are those enemas self-administered, or does some staffer give you the plug and squirt? Now, legit massages, those can be kind of awkward, right? Some stranger and all. But an enema, that's got to be hyper weird. So I did a deep dive on their website, which is very zen, and clicked on colonics, and sure enough, here's the poop, if you'll pardon the expression. It says, our colon hydrotherapists use a closed system to flush out the toxins. The treatment is painless and an important cornerstone of your cleanse. I would certainly hope it's a closed system. And even with that, I'd want some open windows. But really, what is that like? What kind of small talk does one engage in when someone shoves a nozzle up your ass and flushes you out like the radiator on a rusty Buick? So how about those Dodgers, huh? Hey, this nozzle and tubing is disposable, right? There's no amount of sanitizing that could make me feel right about that being recycled. Hey, what's that that just came out of me? Looked like it had fins. No? Well, it definitely had eyes. It was looking right at me. So was this always your dream job? Of course. There's a YouTube video for every goddamn thing, and there's a video of a pretty good-looking blonde chick getting a power flush from an older woman. There are close-ups of the sewage being pumped out of her, as well as her own ribald commentary. It has over 7.5 million views. I'll post it, with all the other shit, on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. So I kind of started off today in the toilet as a 4-year-old, and it's where we're ending up. The loop is nearly closed. It is a bizarre world, but it's the only one we've got. Hey, thanks for hanging with me again. It's always great to be with you. If you want to get a hold of me, my email is thatlarryshow@gmail.com, or follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. Just plug That Larry Show in the search bar. You'll find it. We have a lot of fun between shows on Twitter and Facebook. You should check it out. slide over to patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Join the Take No Shit Dojo. That's where we all hang out. The mission of this show is the opposite of those enema clinics. We help you avoid taking shit from people at school, work, home, wherever you may roam. And we've got a deep bench of senseis available to help you grapple with any dilemma. But that service is only available to patrons. And it'll do you a lot more good than any phony shrink. And it's a hell of a lot cheaper. But don't forget to click the subscribe button at thatlarryshow.com, and that way you never miss an episode. I will see you next Tuesday or thereabouts, and until that time, think about what this wealthy, wise man told me.
I'm John McAfee, and I love That Larry Show.